Welcome to this edition of PowerPoint with Jack Graham. A little later in the program, we'll tell you how you can get the best of 2021 message series. But first, here's Dr. Graham's message, The Search for Significance.
Take God's Word and turn to Hebrews chapter 2. This is our series, Going the Distance. And the title of today's message is The Search for Significance. Verse 6 says, it has been testified somewhere, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, in subjection to mankind. The writer of Hebrews is quoting here. He says from somewhere, that somewhere is actually Psalm 8. As a shepherd boy, David often reflected on the greatness and glory of God, and he sang beautiful and gave us beautiful psalms and hymns of worship to God. And in Psalm 8, he speaks of the majesty and the glory of God, the greatness of God in the heavens. And then David thinks, how small I am, how insignificant I am in the midst of all of this majesty and all of this greatness. Who am I that God would be mindful of me? That the great God who made the universe would think about me? He's feeling insignificant. He's feeling insecure. He's feeling small. In the face of the greatness of God and also the length of eternity, because life is brief, a brief candle, a vapor that appears for a little while and is gone soon. And yet we look into the heavens and we wonder, who am I? Why did God make me? Why am I here? What is my purpose? What is my meaning in life? It's the search for significance. And in that search, we first see what I'm going to call man's beautiful dignity. Women and men are made by God. In fact, we're told right here in the scripture, verse 7, you made him. Man is made by God, and man is minded by God. We are in his thoughts. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, one of my favorite verses. It speaks of God being mindful of us. And he says, for I know the thoughts, the plans that I have for you. Thoughts of your welfare, your health, not of disaster or evil, but to give you a future and a hope. It just boggles the mind to think that God, the Creator, we learn who this Creator is. Jesus is the one who framed and founded the universe, who made it all. He's the Christ of the cosmos, the Creator God, and the sustainer in the universe. We're told in Hebrews 1 that all things hold together because of Him. Everything is in the grip of His grace and of His power. And so God made us. And when he made us, according to the scriptures, at the very dawn of creation, he breathed into us the breath of life. And man became a living soul. You are not a body who has a soul. You are a soul who has a body. God breathed into you his life. This makes you different than the animals. His image. You bear, at the outset, man did, the image of God. And so we are not the product of someone's evolutionary hypothesis or thesis. We did not ooze out of some primordial swamp. We are not the first cousin to the apes, a glorified gorilla, a naked ape. But rather, created beings with the breath and the life of God within us. That is who man is originally, in the original intent and creation of God. This is what God made man to be. And God gave man the authority and the dominion over the garden and over all the earth, the fowls, the fish, the animal kingdom. This is who man is by creation. And we were crowned with glory and honor. Thus, this beautiful dignity, this glorious identity, three times in this passage, he speaks of man's glory, the glory of God in a human being, made by man, minded, considered by God. So put away all your theories that you're an accident or a mistake, that you're on some kind of evolutionary cycle. The Bible says this is God's view of you. God's view of you. You were handcrafted by God Almighty. Even in your mother's womb. Now, Adam and Eve were handmade by God in the garden, but we are born into this life, and life begins in the womb. You say, how do you know that? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 7, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. God had a plan for your life before your birth. And if you want further evidence, Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am what? Fearfully and wonderfully made. Made by God. And therefore, life is significant. Life is sacred. From the womb to the tomb. This is why we believe, the Bible tells us, that the preborn, the unborn, and the born are all sacred to God. It's the sanctity of human life. You know, if you begin teaching kids that they come from animals, it's no wonder that they start acting like animals. But if you show children and teenagers and show yourself God's word that teaches us that you are made in the image of God, by the very hand of God, that God has a plan, God has a purpose for your life, then you will understand life from a totally different perspective, God's perspective. And you will see others in a different way. But something happens in the story in verse 8. When it talks about man being made, the woman being made, but it says, look at the last sentence in verse 8. It says, at present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him. That is subjection to the created one. Something happened. Something changed. And that something that happened defaced and disfigured the image of God in humanity. Something radical happened to the heart of a human being. And that something, when you look at man today, we're not in control. There's chaos in the world. We don't have dominion. We are dominated. And what is it? That something that happened is sin and death. When Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God and to disobey God, God said, if you eat of the fruit of the tree of good and knowledge, you will die. Satan lied and they died. First in their spirits and ultimately in their bodies. And a disease began to spread throughout the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve. And that disease is deadly. Sin, death, and hell. Sin now separates us from God. And I want you to really listen right now, because this is the heart of the Christian faith and message. Before there's good news, there's this terrible news of man's sinful, terrible depravity. Now, that's not a word you hear much today in social circles, unless you're talking about someone who's really done some bad, bad things. That person is depraved. And yet the Bible teaches us that in our sinful state, this condition, as a result, the consequence of sin, the sin of choice, our own sin, because of that, we are all totally depraved. Total depravity doesn't mean that you're as bad as you could be, but it means that you are, watch this, as bad off as you could be. Because in this depravity, we are dying.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and the message, The Search for Significance. We hope you're enjoying today's message, and we're excited to share that for a limited time, your gift to PowerPoint will be doubled, up to $150,000, thanks to a generous matching grant. To say thanks for your gift today, we'll send you the most popular and encouraging messages from this past year, together in one collection called The Best of 2021. So call now to have your gift doubled by the match and request the best of 2021 as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Now let's get back to today's message, The Search for Significance.
Now there's three kinds of death mentioned in the Bible. There, of course, is physical death, but the Bible also talks about spiritual death, and that's life without God. If God breathes life into the soul, if there is no life in the soul, if there is no God in me, there's no life in me. We're dead men walking. We are not alive. The wages of sin is death, according to the scriptures. The soul that sins, it shall surely die. So that's spiritual death. So we know spiritual death. We know physical death, but the Bible talks about the second death. And the second death is the result of this depravity, this death that comes eternally, separation from God forever and ever. And that's hell. Jesus came so that you would not have to die in your sins, but If you reject the love and the grace of God, you will die in your sins, and that's hell judgment. The Bible says there is a hell and there is a judgment. It is appointed unto man once to die, says the book of Hebrews. And after that, the judgment. Now we therefore must prepare to die, prepare to meet our God. There's the reality of death and the brevity of life. We all deal with it. Mankind, we all have these basic needs. There's emptiness, there's loneliness, there's guilt, and there's the fear of death. You say, I'm not afraid to die. You're probably lying if you're saying that. We all are born in what the writer of Hebrews later calls the bondage of death. We are slaves to sin and death. And that's the fact. That's reality. Death, because of sin, is a relentless reality. But thank God there's more. In our search for significance, there's not only this beautiful dignity and this sinful depravity, but there is an eternal destiny. Because what man has lost, what Adam, the first man, lost, Jesus, the second Adam, has regained for us. That's the message of the gospel, that God became a man, the perfect man, the God-man, and lived among us. And that's why verse 9 says, look at verse 9, it says, but we see him, Jesus, because Jesus, the man, the mediator between God and man, made lower than the angels for a little while. Can you imagine that? God in an embryo, God in a crib. And this is central to the Christian faith, the incarnation, God becoming man, God becoming flesh. Not the first Adam, but the second Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is born that we might never die. The Son of God became a son of man. C.S. Lewis said that the sons of men could become the sons of God. So what was lost in the failure, in the fall, and the consequences of sin is now regained. For watch what happens. He's crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death. Watch it. So by the grace of God, he might taste death for who? Everyone. Everyone. Don't you ever let somebody tell you that Jesus died just for a select few. Atonement is not limited. The grace of God is for everyone. Jesus died for all. Jesus died for everyone. He tasted death. That means he experienced death. This isn't a sampling of death. This isn't an hors d'oeuvre. He tasted death. I think of the garden before Golgotha was the garden where Jesus surrendered his soul, his life to do the will of the Heavenly Father, to go to the cross. He's praying, he's sweating drops of blood. And he says, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. What was in that cup? It was so awful, so terrible, that even Jesus said, Lord, not this. You know what was in that cup? The sins of mankind. Think of every vile, evil, wicked, foul, lascivious, depraved act of humanity. Think of the self-righteousness and the pride and all the rest, all of the sin of humanity is in that cup. I know that it's impossible for the human brain to get around that this side of eternity, but I'm telling you, when Christ died, he took on our sin. He tasted death for everyone. And as he surrendered his will to drink that cup, he drank that bitter cup dry to the dregs. He tasted death for everyone. Here's what God decided before time began. He loved you so much, he didn't want to live without you. So he sent his darling son, the Lord Jesus, who tasted death for everyone. He died on the cross. The scripture here goes on to say that he took this bondage of death. And as the founder of our faith, in fact, let's take a couple of seconds to look at it. Verse 10 says, "For whom and by all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." That means that Christ did not die a normal death, but a suffering and painful death. This was not a charade. It was death, and a suffering death on the cross. But this salvation is made perfect because of the founder. And that's an interesting word. I did a word study on that particular word, and it does mean founder. It can also mean leader, as it references leading many sons to glory. It can also mean, and I like this, champion. Hero. It's the picture of a gladiator. And later on, verse 14, "So therefore the children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery." So you can now say, if you believe and follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who has conquered sin, death, and hell in the grave by his cross, by his resurrection, this Savior, this Redeemer, who took the sword, the sting of death out of the hand of the devil, he subdued Satan, he destroyed death by his own death on the cross, and therefore you no longer have to live in the fear of death. I don't want to minimize the hurt and the pain that death causes, but I'm telling you, as a believer and follower of Jesus Christ, there's no need for you ever to live in the bondage and the slavery of fear and death. Because we have a Savior, a founder, a champion who is leading many sons to glory. When I die, I'm not walking into glory alone. I'm going hand in hand with Jesus. Amen? Amen? I'm walking in with him. So why would we fear? If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you no longer live in fear because of his death, his cross, his resurrection. That's why we preach Jesus. That's why we teach Jesus. That's why we sing about Jesus. Because of him. What he has done for us.
You're listening to PowerPoint with Jack Graham and his message, The Search for Significance. As we prepare to step into our 28th year of ministry, generous partners like you are enabling PowerPoint to harness technology to take the gospel into closed countries and hard-to-reach regions. And lives are being transformed by Christ. But in order to seize every opportunity God sends our way, your support is vital to ensure PowerPoint finishes this year on a strong financial footing. That's why we're excited to share that some generous friends have offered to double your gift this month up to $150,000. To say thanks for your gift, we'll send you the best of 2021, a CD collection featuring 10 popular messages from this past year that will help you deepen your faith. So call now to have your gift doubled by the match and request the best of 2021 as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. 775-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. That's PowerPoint to 313131.
And don't forget to visit jackgraham.org, where you can shop our e-store, give a gift online, or sign up for Dr. Graham's free daily email devotional. Our website again is jackgraham.org. Pastor, what is your PowerPoint for today?
Life today runs 100 miles a minute. It's Mach 5. And from the moment we wake up and the moment we finally put our heads on the pillow, there are so many things, thousands of things maybe, that are vying for your attention. But it's in the midst of all the stress and all the hustle and the hurry of life that we need to seek God's peace and God's grace and the promise of God's word and wisdom. And that's why I want you to spend time with the Lord every day, growing in your faith, developing as a disciple and follower of Jesus. And the word of God in your life will help you develop spiritual muscle and strengthen you as you live the Christian life. This is the reason I want to really encourage you to get my daily email devotion PowerPoint today. We take God's word, a specific point of it, and a promise in God's word, and we deliver it with an application every single day. So many write to me or let me know how much the daily devotional means to them. And so I believe it will be something that would add blessing and strength to your life, help you manage the problems and the stresses and distresses of life. PowerPoint today will help you get the most and the best out of your life as you walk with Christ every day. So here's all you need to do to get the daily devotion PowerPoint today. Visit jackgraham.org, jackgraham.org, and sign up for PowerPoint today. That's jackgraham.org.
And that is today's PowerPoint. Remember, when you give a gift to PowerPoint, your gift will be doubled, and we'll send you the Best of 2021 message series as our thanks. Call 1-800-795-4627. That's 1-800-795-4627. You can also text the word PowerPoint to 313131. Text PowerPoint to 313131. And join us again next time as Dr. Graham brings a message about how God's living word can change your life. That's next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint with Jack Graham is sponsored by PowerPoint Ministries.